absolute truth, the cause of everything that exists, the supreme power of whom all of the devatas are subordinate. And most of all, the protector and giver of pleasure to his devotees. She's explaining how bewildering it is that although fear personified is afraid of Krishna, Krishna is trembling, his limbs and his eyes flowing with tears in fear of Mother Yashoda. The great poet Govinda Das has prayed, Bajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charana ravindare durlabha manava janama satsange taraha eva vasindare abhaya charana ravindare abhaya charana ravindare. That when the mind engages in remembering Krishna, worshipping Krishna, it finds that realm of consciousness in which there is no fear. This material existence is full of fear, and everyone is fearful. Fear motivates us to work throughout the day, because if we do not work, there may not be money, and without money, we fear there will be no food, there will be no nice dress, there will be no home to protect us, there will be no distinction according to what we can claim to possess. So people's motive is fear. If we carefully and scrutinizingly analyze anything we do, we'll find a prominent element of fear behind it. Because it is a world of birth and death. Dukalayam ashashvatam. And there are so many sufferings imminent in every aspect of life. So how could we be without fear? Because we are by nature pleasure-seeking entities. We are eternal, full of knowledge, full of joy. And it is so unnatural for the soul to suffer in the embarrassing condition of material existence. But yet, everywhere we see, there is the miseries of adi-atmaka, adi-daivaka, and adi-bhautika. So there is great fear. And there's no solution to this fear. We can build great armies. We can have all sorts of security devices. We can be very healthy and make all kinds of arrangements in this way. But still, in the back of our mind, we know that danger and death can be around any corner. So there is fear. And we have a nice family. We're always fearing that we may lose them. We have nice friends. There's always the fear that we will lose them. We go to school. There's always fear that we will not do well. Fear is everywhere. But Govinda Das says that if you simply remember Krishna and engage your mind in worshipping Krishna, you will be free from all fear. Abhaya charanaravindare. Because in the lotus feet of Krishna, all fear is erased. Why? Because Krishna, the Supreme Truth, is non-different than the very remembrance of Him. none different than his name, none different than the pastimes, the sound vibration of those pastimes. And when we fix our consciousness on that, our consciousness is fixed in the source of eternal happiness. So we are transported beyond this material existence in all of its dualities. And in this way, by simply remembering Krishna, we become fearless. But we have to remember Krishna in the mood of Queen Kunti. We have to remember him fixing his lotus feet within our heart, taking shelter. A devotee must learn to take shelter of the Lord's pastimes, take shelter of the Lord's names, take shelter of the Lord's devotees who are always reminding them of Krishna. So in this way, all fear is dispelled by Krishna's presence, just as all darkness is dispelled by the presence of the sun. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Nahi Mahi Mayar Adhikar. Fear is due to ignorance. Fear is because we are situated in darkness. But Krishna is like the shining light of the sun. When the sun rises, all darkness is removed. Similarly, when Krishna manifests himself within our heart, within our mind, all ignorance and all fear is dispelled. And the very manifestations of Krishna's expansions and incarnations have proven how his presence dispels all reason for fear. Lord Narasimhadev, he dispels all fear. He appeared, and the terrible demon who was the cause of treachery, suffering, and death to so many pious people, he was destroyed by his presence. Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev. The demon Madhu was killed by the Lord's incarnation of Hayagriva, who rescued the Vedas. But the source of all those incarnations, who has annihilated the greatest obstacles to happiness and well-being, is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is explained here that fear personified is afraid of you, my Krishna. But Queen Kunti, in her mind's eye, she is remembering this beautiful picture of Krishna. That same Krishna that killed Bhutana, killed Trinavarta, subdued Kaliya, killed Kamsa, and Jarasandha was defeated him so many times, again and again, 18 times. That same Krishna, in the presence of his mother, Yashoda, who was but a simple gopi. You see, the residents of Vrindavan, they did not have any sophisticated weapons. When Krishna went to Mathura, he could have gone back to Vrindavan. But he knew that after killing Kamsa, Jarasandha was going to attack 18 times with so many Akshohini divisions of soldiers. What to speak of all of other of Kamsa's colleagues who were great kings with armies. And Mathura was the land of the Yadus. They were Kshatriyas. They had big armies. And it was suitable for Krishna to fight with them. But Vrindavan, if all of these armies came, what weapons did the Brijavasis had? All they had was little sticks to make the cows move forward. And that was the most dangerous weapon in all of Brijbhumi. They were helpless. They simply live peacefully. There was no need. When these asuras came in various disguises, all they could do is just pray. And basically what they prayed was, please, Lord, protect Krishna. Because the Brijvasis were not so much concerned with their own lives. They were too much concerned with Krishna. Just like devotees, when they become engrossed in worshipping the deity, if some danger comes to the temple, the devotees forget about their own self-interest. Devotees forget whether they'll live or die. They just immediately think how to protect the deities, how to protect Krishna. This is natural as we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. In the same way, when all of these great asuras came to Vrindavan, the Brijvasis, according to what type of yoga maya would Krishna would put them under, generally they were simply afraid, what will happen to Krishna? But Krishna destroyed them all. But Krishna didn't want the Brijvasis to have to undergo such a situation. So he remained in Mathura, then he went to Dwarka. And what type of manifestations of divine strength he manifested. In the battle of Kurukshetra, the greatest, most powerful warriors in all the world were fighting against the Pandavas. And Krishna didn't even fight. Just by his presence, just by his beautiful transcendental glances, he protected Arjuna and the Pandavas from all dangers. And of course, Queen Kunti was so grateful because the Pandavas were her own children. After seeing how Krishna protected her children in this great battle, where they were outnumbered, they were outpowered, but simply by Krishna's presence, they were victorious. So Queen Kunti, she even prays. She prays, let calamities come. Vipada shantu tasha shvatatra tatra jagatguru. Because when the calamities come, Krishna, I think of you. And how I think of you. There's nothing else to think of. There's nowhere else to go. And in thinking of you, I never have to see or experience birth or death again. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva pape moksha ishami masucha. Krishna says that if you surrender to me, I shall relieve you from all sinful reaction. You have nothing to fear. Do not fear. Just surrender to Krishna. Mother Kunti was learned and realized in the highest spiritual sciences. She understood the Vedanta, the conclusion of all the Vedas, is simply to find supreme eternal shelter in remembering Krishna. But yet that Krishna, his lips are trembling. In fact, he's running away in fear of Mother Yashoda, a gopi. And Queen Kunti says that this sight is bewildering to me. But this bewilderment is incomprehensible to the mind and to the intelligence. But it is utterly and supremely attractive to the heart and to the soul. Because how can we rationally and logically understand the Leela of Vrindavan? Krishna appears to be an ordinary boy. Vrindavan is the land of Madhurya Ras. Dwarka, Mathura, Vaikuntha, and all the various incarnations of the Lord that have descended from those plains, they manifest Aishwarya Ras. Aishwarya means great opulence, great power, supreme majesty. But Madhurya Ras is, all of those things are there. Majesty, power, opulence. But they are all covered over by charm and beauty and sweetness. So those other qualities cannot be seen. They're all there, but they're covered by a higher principle. Therefore, in Vrindavan, nobody recognized Krishna as God. They just thought he's an ordinary boy. But even Garga Muni explained to them that he is God. During Krishna's name-giving ceremony, Garga Muni explained that this child, previously, he had a white complexion, a red complexion, a yellow complexion. He was describing his different avatars. But Krishna was so beautiful, and he was so charming, and he was attracting the Brijabasi's love in such a way that they just couldn't remember what Garga Muni said. And every now and then when they did remember, they just didn't take it seriously. Yes, he said it, but Krishna's so nice. The gopas, the cowherd boys, how they would play with Krishna, how they would wrestle with Krishna, how they would, the boys, they would steal each other's lunches and they would be throwing it, and the boys would be running to try to get. They would play with balls and they would imitate the animals in the forest. They would imitate the monkeys and the peacocks and the frogs. And when Krishna would imitate, he would do it the best. And they would clap their hands and say, "Well done, Krishna, well done. You have done, you look just like peacock." The way he would move his neck. Just like children. They were not conscious that he is the creator of all species of life. That whatever movement any animal has is only by the performance of his diversified energies, which are being controlled by him. So if Krishna wants to look like peacock, what type of peacock he looks? But he just, like a little child. And the boys frolicking through the pasture grounds throughout the day would simply enjoy with Krishna. He was their friend. And the gopis, how they loved Krishna. They saw Krishna as the most charming, beautiful lover of their hearts. Shyam Sundar. Although when Krishna danced on the head of Kaliya, his lotus feet, each time he touched the head of Kaliya, it was like a mountainous thunderbolt crashing down upon him. But the gopis were thinking that when Krishna goes into the forest and he steps on the little pebbles on the ground, the little tiny stones, that it must cause pain to his feet, because his feet are so soft, those lotus feet. And the gopis would weep, they would cry tears of spiritual agony, just imagining Krishna's beautiful soft feet stepping on the hard ground. Maybe even little thorns may go in. This was their meditation. There's a place in Kamyavan where Krishna was herding his cows, and he played upon his flute such a beautiful, sweet melody that everything around just began to melt. Everything. People's hearts melted. All over not only the earth, but the whole universe. And the mountain that he was standing on began to melt, and those little soft feet made impressions. And to this day, Charan Pahari, we can see the footprints of Lord Krishna. So this is the meditation. And Mother Yashoda, she was very strict with Krishna. Because if I do not train Krishna properly, then how will he be a good gentleman when he grows older? This was her meditation. And Nanda Maharaj also. There is a story that when Krishna was living at Nandagaon with Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, Balaramji, and Rohini, and others, they would regularly have meetings. And the subject of their meeting was always how to make everything nice and happy for Krishna, how to protect Krishna. Nanda Maharaj had four brothers, the sons of Parchanja. It was Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Nandan, and he was Nanda Maharaj. So Upananda would often lead these meetings. And one night, one day, he addressed the whole assembly that Krishna, he is not an ordinary boy. It's not possible. He must be either an incarnation of Narayan, or he must be an incarnation of Brahma or Shiva or some great demigod, or at least he must be a great mystic, powerful yogi. After all, how is it that he killed Putana, and he killed Trinavarta, and he killed Aghasura, and he killed Bhakasura and Vatsasura. And when he was only a child of 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand. He's an empowered being. He's very special. And Nanda Maharaj, your wife, Yashoda, she treats him with no respect. Sometimes she chastises him. Sometimes she threatens to hit him with a stick. Sometimes she pulls him by the ears. Sometimes she ties him with ropes. This is no way to treat a great soul. So we believe we should stand. We believe that you should treat him according to his position. And Nanda Maharaj, he looked at them like, what do you know? What do you men know? You are saying that Krishna is some great demigod or some great yogi or some incarnation? great souls. But great souls, they're understood by the degree that they control their senses and their minds. But my Krishna is full of greed, he's full of anger. He cannot control his eating habits. Krishna, he eats minimum 50 times every day. And if there's no food, what to speak of if the food is a little bit too cold, or if there's not enough sugar in it? He becomes angry, colossal temper tantrums. Is this the behavior of an exalted soul? And you should know that if ever anyone's yogurt or milk or curds are stolen, that my son Krishna has done it. Because he's a thief. Is this the symptom of an exalted soul? That they steal? And not only steals, but he lies. He eats dirt. When you ask him, did you eat dirt? No, I did not eat dirt. Did you steal the gopis' butter and yogurt? No, I did not steal the gopis' butter and yogurt. Did you steal the gopis' clothes? Of course not. I was not even anywhere in that area. An exalted soul is symptomized by being honest and honorable. And also, they're supposed to be fearless. But my Krishna, when it rains out and there's thunder and lightning, he comes running to our beds, crying, jumping in our arms, beg that he cannot sleep unless we protect him. And when he has a stomach ache from eating too much, he comes weeping and crying to Mother Yashoda, and she has to embrace him and kiss him continuously to pacify his anxieties. And even demons are able to control their senses. But Krishna, he has no control of his senses. He'll do anything, he'll say anything, and he's always eating something. I tell you that if these are the qualifications of an exalted soul, I see no reason to be exalted. He is my son. And if he does anything wrong, I will take my stick and I will teach him how to behave properly. You just do not understand who is this Krishna. And then Nanda Maharaj began to think about the millions and millions and millions of wonderful, charming pastimes of Lord Krishna. And his heart overflowing with love, he began to laugh. And he laughed so hard. And he repeatedly explained, you just do not understand. And as he laughed, all of the cowherd men, they began to just remember the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. And they all began to laugh. And everyone in the assembly was laughing and laughing and laughing, so much laughing that tears were pouring from their eyes, their stomachs were paining. They could hardly breathe, and they continued to laugh until they just could not laugh any longer. And when it came to that point, they were all laying on the floor and they started looking at each other. And then they remembered Krishna. And again they began to laugh. And they laughed and they laughed and they laughed. And they laughed so hard that they completely forgot the whole purpose of the meeting, which was to convince Nanda Maharaj that Krishna was an exalted demigod. So in this way, Krishna, by his wonderful and sweet yogamaya potency, he always kept them covered over. So that the sweetness of these loving relationships could remain always intact. We are celebrating this month of Kartik, the wonderful pastime of Damodar. It is also called the month of Damodar. And all of the temples in Vrindavan associated with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and many others as well, they sing every morning and every evening the beautiful prayers called Damodarastakam, which are from the Padma Purana. And here Satyavrat Muni is expressing his sweet meditation on the wonderful pastime of Krishna. The same pastime that Mother Yashoda is here meditating upon with such love. When Krishna was sitting, actually by hearing this pastime every day during this month, one pleases Krishna very much. And love of Krishna becomes very nearby if we just perform this simple austerity of reciting and remembering this wonderful pastime through the month of Damodar. Where Krishna was sitting with his mother Yashoda and she was feeding him, the milk from her own body. But she was also making preparations for Krishna on the stove. And the milk began to boil over. So Mother Yashoda put Krishna down to remove the pot from the fire. But Krishna wanted to teach her a good lesson, that there should be nothing that anyone does that has a priority over making me happy. Many of us are householders, many of us are students, many of us are brahmacharis, and we have our priorities in life. But Krishna wants to teach us all that the only real priority in life is to make Krishna happy. And however important anything may be, if it is not pleasing to Krishna, we should not have anything to do with it. So Mother Yashoda was a housewife and she had her household responsibilities. But Krishna wanted to show her and all of us that worship of him must be first. So he decided that he was going to get revenge on Mother Yashoda. So he went into the rafters and he took the butter and he broke the pots and began to steal the butter. And sometimes he would even feed it to the monkeys. And as he was taking this butter and eating and feeding monkeys, at that time Mother Yashoda came, "Where is he?" But then she saw his footprints, because when he was eating butter, butter was all over him, there was footprints. And she saw that the clay pots were broken, that it was spilled, and there she saw Krishna hiding. And she picked up stick. Not that she would hit Krishna, There is no evidence that she ever hit Krishna. But mothers, it is one of their tactics to put fear in their child's heart. Mothers today, sometimes they hit. But Mother Yashoda was not like that. She just wanted Krishna to be afraid that you cannot do like this. So Krishna began to run away. And as he ran, Yashoda Mai was chasing after him. And she ran and she ran, and Krishna ran and she ran and he ran. And her flowers were falling from her hairs. And how is it that anyone can catch Krishna? But by her motherly affection, she was able to catch Krishna. And out of her love, she was thinking that little Krishna, he's so mischievous. He's so unpredictable. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere. And he may get hurt. So, while I perform my household chores, I will tie him up. This pastime took place on the day of Diwali. And she took some rope, nice soft rope, and she went to bind him around his waist. But the rope was 2 fingers too short. So she went to get more rope, and she tied it to the original rope, and went to put it around Krishna's little waist. And it was again 2 inches too short. So Mother Yashoda, she was the queen of all the gopis of Braja. So many of the elderly gopis, they all heard about this wonderful pastime, so they all wanted to witness it. So they all came together, and they all started tying ropes together and bringing more ropes and giving it to Mother Yashoda. And every time she went to put it around Krishna, it was 2 inches too short. 2 fingers too short, to be exact. And each time, all the gopis would laugh. How is this possible? They would simply laugh. They just couldn't understand. Krishna's just an ordinary little child, but how is this happening? So they were just bringing more rope and more rope, all different color ropes. It was a festival of ropes. And they were all singing Krishna's glories as they were doing. And they were clapping their hands, and they were weeping and laughing and everything. It was wonderful. And each time they tried to put it, it was 2 fingers too short. Mother Yashoda was working so hard, but she was smiling all the while. Ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was so difficult to achieve, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma and Shiva, they prayed to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna that we want the benediction that the servants of the gopis and the servants of the Brijvasis, that they place their feet on our heads. But because they're simple cowherd people, they will never put their feet on Shiva and Brahma's head. Can you imagine? If some great personality came to you and said, put your feet on my head, you would be very embarrassed. What to speak if Lord Shiva came to you? I said, put feet on my head, you would run away. So the Brijvasis are very simple, innocent people. So they were thinking how to get their feet on our head. So they prayed for the benediction that they could be mountains in Vrindavan. And Lord Brahma became the 4 mountain peaks of Bhadrasana, and Lord Shiva became the 5 mountain peaks, his 5 heads of Nandishwar, Nandagram. And in this way, the gopis and Krishna and Balaram, everyone was always dancing on their heads. And they were very happy. It was their happiest meditation. So how difficult it is to achieve. Shiva and Brahma did centuries of tapasya to attain that position of getting the Lord's devotees' dust on their heads. And the greatest yogis and the greatest jnanis and the greatest karmakandis, they can never achieve the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. They can never catch Krishna. Because through the ascending process, Krishna can never be achieved. However many austerities, we can perform billions of lifetimes of the severest tapasya and never reach Krishna. We can memorize all the Vedic literatures and be able to present them perfectly and will never achieve Krishna. We can never bind Krishna. We can never capture Krishna. We can give billions and trillions and quadrillions of rupees in charity, and we can perform Ashwamedha yajnas and Gomedha yajnas and never capture Krishna. But Mother Yashoda, because of her simple and pure bhakti, or love, she was ultimately able to take the rope of that love and bind Krishna. And she tied Krishna to a wooden grinding mortar. And then she was very happy. And she went about her seva. But Krishna was thinking, little Gopal, that now she thinks that she has defeated me. Now she has me all tied up around the waist. Now I am Damodar, tied around the waist. But I will show her what I can do. So he began to crawl. And this big, big wooden grinding mortar began to drag behind him as he effortlessly crawled like a baby. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda, she was thinking, she was some distance away. Then what have I done? I tied up Krishna, my little Gopal. I tied him with ropes to a grinding mortar. This is not very nice. She was feeling in her heart that she shouldn't have done it. Krishna may feel bad. And her whole life and soul was only to make Krishna feel good. So she began to return. And so when she returned to the house, she saw that Krishna was gone and the grinding mortar was gone. And she was frantic. What has happened? Perhaps he's so unhappy with me for doing that he has left me. He's left home. My little baby, where is he gone? And she began to search everywhere. And meanwhile, Krishna was crawling in the backyard, and he saw two big, big trees. Very big trees. They were Arjuna trees, but they were towering to the sky. Massive trees, thousands of years old. And Krishna crawled between the trees, and the grinding mortar got stuck, and he just pulled. And as he pulled, the trees... But it was very loud. We have no amplification sound effects that you can compare. It was a thunderous sound. The trees just cracked and crashed to the ground. And Mother Yashoda, she just heard trees cracking. She didn't know what to do. And then out of the trees came two illustrious, effulgent demigods. Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, who were the sons of Kuvera, who were bathing in the Mandakini Ganga near Mount Kailash. And They were bathing without any clothes on, with young ladies, because they became so proud of so much. They were intoxicated by false pride. Who is Narada Muni? What do we care? And we find when we become too much proud, we offend devotees, and when we offend devotees, we put ourselves in the most terrible predicament. So Narada Muni cursed them. That you stand naked before the representatives of God, if this is what you want, then you stand for thousands of years naked as trees. So here they are, opulent demigods with all facilities at their command, and the next minute they're trees. They cannot even move, they're just standing like this. No clothes, nothing. So we should know that in this material world, our position is very insecure. We don't know what we will be from one minute to the next. It is true. So we should not be attached to whatever we have. We should be attached to those things which will never be taken away. Neha vikramana sosti pratyavayona vichyate. And there's only one thing that cannot be taken away, even by death itself, and that is our Krishna consciousness. We should be attached to that. Everything else is uncertain. But as trees, because even the curse of a great devotee is actually a blessing. Because devotees, they're only concerned with the best interest in the welfare of all living beings. They will never do anything that is not good for someone, the great souls. So although they became trees, in Gokula, Mahavan, and they were able to witness the wonderful pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna and Balaram, and they became utterly purified by seeing these beautiful pastimes. And when Krishna cracked these trees, they came out as liberated pure devotees. And they simply begged Krishna for the one benediction, that they could always remember his wonderful pastimes and always be the servant of his servants. And after Krishna gave them that blessing, along with pure love of God, they returned to their abodes, transformed. And meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj, he heard these trees crashing, and he came. What happened? How is this? My son could have been killed. These trees. They fell, and they just missed him. Where is Mother Yashoda? Why? Why isn't she here? Who's taking care of him? And the children, they said, we saw Krishna actually knock these trees over. Impossible, what nonsense is you speaking? It's a baby. So Nanda Maharaj took Krishna into the cowherd, the place where the cows were kept, and he was sitting on his lap. And meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was running, where is Krishna? And then she ran to the trees. She saw these two big, big trees fall into the ground, and right next to the trees was the grinding mortar. And attached to the grinding mortar was the rope. But Krishna was gone. So she was even more excited in her transcendental anxieties. And she began to search everywhere. And then she was told by that he's in the cowshed with Nanda Maharaj. So she went, and she said, oh, Gopal, please come home with me. And Gopal said, I will remain with my father. And this was like a death blow to the heart of Mother Yashoda, that I have hurt Krishna, that he doesn't even want to be with me anymore. And she began to weep and to cry. And she returned to her home, and she just laid on the ground, rolling on the ground, weeping and crying, beating her chest. And what have I done to my child? Go home. And at that time, Rohini Devi went to the cowshed and approached Krishna and said that Yashoda Mai, she is feeling so much sad that you will not return home to her, that she's simply weeping and crying and rolling on the ground. And when Krishna heard this, he immediately began running home as fast as he could with his little beautiful baby feet. And he called out, Mataji, Mataji, Mai, Mai. And Mother Yashoda heard him, and she just, her heart blossomed with ecstasies, and she got up and started running toward Krishna, O Gopal. And he ran into her arms, and then she began to feed him her milk and kiss his beautiful loving form. And ultimately Krishna got it, just what he wanted, the milk from his mother. But in the process, he performed this most wonderful pastime to charm the hearts of all of creation. So Queen Kunti, she is here in this wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, or in her ecstasy of ecstatic love, remembering the wonderful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And many of us will be very fortunate next week to go to Vrindavan, the holy land, Braj Bhumi, and to be in the presence of these wonderful places where Krishna performs his eternal lila. But even here, or anywhere, wherever we assemble in the association of nice, sincere, and humble devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord, and to chant the Sankirtan of the name of the Lord, Krishna makes himself present in that place. Within his name, all of his pastimes are innately present. When we chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the assembly of Vaishnavas, devotees, we invoke the divine presence. And as we become purified through this process, Krishna reveals not only his supreme opulences as the Lord of the universe, but ultimately he reveals the Madhurya Ras, the sweet pastimes of Vrindavan. We will not see it with our eyes, but he will enact these wonderful pastimes within our hearts. Therefore, Satyavrat Muni, he prays in his Damodahastakam, in his conversation with Sri Narada, that I do not desire the riches of the heavenly worlds. I do not desire to achieve the siddhis of yoga perfection. I do not desire even promotion to Vaikuntha or liberation, mukti. I only desire that these wonderful childhood pastimes of Krishna as Lord Damodar be enacted within the heart of my heart. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us how we can achieve that most exalted of all platform of consciousness, to always remember Krishna, and to be the servant of these wonderful pastimes as they are being enacted within our heart. And this is all promised to all of us if we patiently and enthusiastically seek shelter of the Sankirtan of the Holy.